salt, seasoning, garlic, scallion, thyme, pepper. We're Jamaican, so you have to have dumpling, pumpkin, sweet potato, just to add a little flavor, give it a little different taste, and some pork bone. I'm a United Church minister, so pork has to be in it, right? Now, all of those things by themselves may not be much, but put together, they produce something wonderful. And in case you're wondering if the soup was wonderful, you can ask Cheryl after the service. But it is as all the different ingredients come together. Now, that illustrates, in a sense, what the church is. Some of us are pork, some of us are dumpling, some of us are pumpkin, some of us are water, some of us are salt. Different ingredients combined together to make a rich community that God can use to make a difference in the world. And so I want to suggest to us that instead of just thinking about ourselves, think about ourselves as part of a greater body. And offering what we have, each one of us bringing what we have to contribute to the service of God. The church is able to make a significant impact as each person offers him or herself and what God has blessed us with. But having said that, there are potential problems. And I think this is what is alluded to in the gospel reading. That sometimes when we come together, problems might arise. So in Matthew 18, the issue is, what happens when there are disagreements in the body? How do we handle hurts and offenses? You know, we saw Brother Carlton and Sister Evelyn this morning. Wonderful illustration of partnership. But later on, they might have a little disagreement, as might happen to people. And how do we handle those things? And what we get is a sense that, you know, of forgiveness, of acknowledging wrong, of taking responsibility, of an openness to being corrected, of saying that, yes, I am wrong. Jesus, you know, in the situation, the person might not say that. He said, well, take a few others and try to encourage them, show them the error of their ways. And take it to the church. And if the person refuses, then you have to treat them like a Gentile. And I wonder about that. Now, how Jesus treated the pagans and the Gentile is that he invited them into his kingdom. He didn't shun them. He pointed out the error and says, you need to change. But he invited them into a new experience. And I think part of what must happen when we have disagreements and problems is that we sit down and work it out. You don't take up your marbles and go home. Get vexed and say, well, if you're not going to do it my way, I'm not work with you. I'm in a business. It's to say, struggle through it. Partnership is not easy. Working together is oftentimes challenging, but we have to stick to it. Demonstrate the maturity and the discipline and to say, okay, all right, we don't agree on everything, but since we agree on this, let us work on this. We must acknowledge the problems. Don't think we should deny them and pretend as if, you know, they're not there. But we should be willing to work through them and not give up at the first sign of trouble. How do we do that? We do that with love and in love, because love is the guiding principle that really makes serving real and legitimate and make partnership possible. And so Paul says, this is the one thing that must be there at all times. Love. Interestingly, the Women's Fellowship motto, by love, serve. Love is the motivation for serving. Genuine concern for the welfare of others. A selfless perspective that says it's not about me or my way. It is about what we want to achieve together. Love is the debt that will never be fully paid. So Paul says this is the one debt that must remain outstanding. And in the context of saying to the Roman church, you know, show respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due, pay your taxes, all of these things. He says there's one debt that you will forever have. And it is the debt, the obligation, the requirement to love people, to love them. And so, my brothers and sisters, in serving, that is what should motivate us. That is what should inspire us. The idea that it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's what I can do for others. It's how I can enrich and improve the lives of others. It's how I can make our world a better place. And is not our world in need of examples of people who will love to the very end? Is not our world so much so filled with people who are selfish and self-serving, who are only interested in what they want? And is not the responsibility of the church to show another way and to provide an alternative to say that is not the way? We are called to be a community that stands out because we are different, because we are motivated by love, because we understand that whoever it is, and whatever their condition might be, love has the power to change them. That love can melt the heart of the hardest, coldest, vilest, most wicked person. Isn't it because we believe that those who are in need not somebody to judge them or condemn them, but somebody to reach out a hand to them and to help them and to lift them up? Isn't that what love is all about? And so we're called upon to serve, motivated by that virtue, a virtue that prompts us to action. Paul says, love is what fulfills the law. For all the law can be summed up in this, love thy neighbor as thyself. And love thy neighbor as thyself still holds whether your neighbor is nice or not. Because sometimes we have bad neighbors, right? Speaking about a person who lives beside us. But our neighbor is a person we meet as we go from day to day. And when we extend love to them, we are indeed fulfilling the law of Christ. We have this unavoidable obligation to love. And Paul says to love because the day is coming closer. Time to put aside the works of darkness and to put on the garment of light. In a world of so much darkness, Christians are called to show that love can light the way. That we must be the people who, because of our love, make a difference in the world. Paul says, our time is short. There is an urgent need for us to get involved and to get engaged, to come off the sidelines, to stop being those who are simply complainers about what is wrong, but those who are willing to work and to cooperate to produce something that is right. And that is a challenge that confronts us, to be motivated by love and to allow love to propel us to action. It is all well and good to point out what is wrong. The greater responsibility and the more challenging demand is to find a way to do something about it. This morning, our men and women are saying to us, let us join hand and hearts together across this nation and across our church to see how we can do something to help to fix our problems. They're inviting us to join them, to come off the sideline, to come out of our camps and our enclaves, to come out of our own little narrow space, to take the risks, to extend ourselves, to move beyond our own boundaries and to reach across to the other person and to say, how can we work together? Whatever the dividing lines might be, gender, age, status, political affiliation, move those boundaries and say, let us work together because we need to make a difference in our world. The problems are too great. The times are too challenging. The demands are too many for us to just think we, our little efforts by itself, can make a difference. It is as we join ourselves with others in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, to say to people, let us work together. Come, make us see what we can do. Because two heads are always better than one, even if it's two cocoa heads. It is as we put our efforts together that we can make a difference. We might wonder, well, how do we know what to do? Look around us. There are needs all around us. You cannot leave your house and go on the street and not be confronted by the magnitude and the amount of problems that are affecting this nation. So we don't need to look very far. God brings people into our lives. God exposes us to different situations so that we can do something about them. Of course, with the perennial questions, how do we know who is genuinely in need? So many scammers, so many jinals. That may be so. Yes, we want to be. We're not to throw our pearls to swines, and we don't want to be foolish. We're called to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But we're called above all else to love genuinely. And I believe that God will give us the wisdom, if we seek Him, to know and to be able to discern. But even still, there may be times when people take advantage of us, but that's fine. That's on them, not on us. We're called upon to do good to as many people as we can for as long as we can. You say, but Pastor, the needs are so many. How can we really help everybody? Listen, we may not be called to fix and to solve all the problems of the world, but we're called to help to fix and to solve the problems in our part of the world. So then, this is really a call to arms, a call to look beyond ourselves, to come out of our narrow confines, to understand that maybe we have too many sacred cows and too many untouchable things. In the cause of Christ, we're called upon to risk, to take the great risk of love, of loving the unlovable, of loving the unlovely, to give ourselves, to take the chance that we have to surrender some of our power for a cause greater than ourselves. So this is the commitment we're called to make this morning, to take the risky option of loving. As difficult as it might be sometimes, we're called upon to love and to love and to love still. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. It's risky. You run the risk of getting hurt, of being taken advantage of. But it's a risk worth taking. We're called upon to join with others so that we can do more together. As sisters and brothers, as men and women, as councils, as churches, we're called upon to join together so that we can do more. Go and find somebody and say, you have an interest in this. You are concerned about this. I am concerned about it too. What can we do about it together? You're called upon to act urgently because the time is moving swiftly. We cannot wait for somebody else to do it. We are the ones who must do it. We can't say, well, somebody else will come along. You are the somebody else who God has brought at this time. You know the story of Mordecai and Esther. Mordecai went to Esther and says, you are not in the position you are just by chance. Your people are in dire need of help. And yes, God may yet bring it from some other place. But who knows that perhaps you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now is our time. This is our task. We cannot expect somebody else to do it. We must do it. We must join together. Put all our efforts, our skills, our ability, and say, we're offering them. Will you join me? Men and women, rich and poor, whatever. Let us work together in love for the cause of the kingdom and for the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your joy.